probably international war as well.
But you know what? I understand what you're saying. You're looking at it from the political perspective. But if we look at it from across the whole society, it's really equal parts. I mean, it's not
only it's not
the,
just political
people in power in government, but also the people in power in whatever type of community you happen to be in. We're seeing this just across the board. And I know that you focus a lot on the government aspects, but you know, I think it's a lot more broad.
Oh, the government is just a symptom. Economics is probably closer to the root, and because government has a lot to do with fake economics and fake money and so forth, that's a big part of the root as well. But you're right. Ultimately, this goes, you know, as the old saying says, beauty's only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone. And the ugly here go clear to the bone. It's an attempt to destroy the very fabric of the nation. I did a show last night, the Come Out of Her My People show, having to do with a PSA that I remembered from years ago. You're probably old enough to remember too. Ran in the late 60s, if I remember right. And it says, lock your door, lock your car, take your keys. Because there was a time when it was such a pervasive issue that most people didn't lock their doors to their house, they didn't lock their car, they'd leave the keys in the car. And, you know, eventually, people started stealing them as we started down this road. But that's how far we've come from a nation where people literally trusted their neighbors enough where they didn't lock their doors, they left their keys in the car, and if you needed to move somebody's car for whatever reason, you just got in, turned the keys, and moved the car to a place where you can't lock it hard enough. They'll break in, they'll steal, and they may just kill you too because they hate the color of your skin or the God that you believe out of the Bible or you name it.
Hey, Mark,
and all of that has happened, I would suggest, deliberately. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's not actually new, though, is it?
No, I mean, it's been going on.
Sure, you go back into World War II. After World War II, there was a form of nationalism that was a peak in society. You know, we could almost call it the Golden Age, because everybody was caring for each other and so forth and so on. But before that time, you know, the Wild Wild West. You know, there were people who would gun you down for your horse, and they were people who would rob your cattle, and, you know, the police or may not get there because they may or may not be involved.
As much as the Wild Wild West gets a lot of bad press, honestly, the Wild Wild West was a lot safer, a huge amount safer, if you look at the real numbers and the real situation, than Chicago, New York, downtown Los Angeles, or pretty much you name it today. There were a few bad guys, and they would go out and steal horses, but...
Right. I'm not disagreeing with different aspects. You look at, you know, this Midwest today. You know, you go to Kansas, it's a hell of a lot safer than New York, right? Well, it's the same thing back then. You know, the port cities were not safe places. So if we're going to take, you know, apples and apples, then I don't think you can really say that what we're seeing today is a concerted effort by this generation to make us horrible. I think we were horrible, but there was a period of time back in our, you know, the post-World War II days where we were a united society.
Well,
and,
that's,
you know, I think that's what you're referring to, but I don't think it was like that before that time.
We had
a civil war before that time, remember?
And yes, and ultimately there have been, you know, that's a complicated issue, is why all of those things are coming to pass now. But ultimately, I will suggest that of late, to my mind, the biggest issue is the fact that not only has there been deliberate dumbing down in the, I don't even want to use the word educational system anymore, the indoctrination system. We've seen that going on for a decade after decade, and the results are undeniable. One grade level has been lost approximately every 10 years in terms of the average level. You're seeing literal IQ scores dropping. Whether you think IQ is a good measure or not, intelligence levels are dropping for a number of reasons. And so much of this turns out, whether we like to admit it or not, to have been deliberate. It's being geoengineered. It's being done via the Monsatans of the world, the genetically modified Frankenfoods, for so many in so many different ways, but for similar reasons. And, of course, the invasion at the southern border in the United States is a big part of that as well. If you have a cohesive society, a society that believes in the God of the Bible, and you want to destroy that, what do? And, by the way, you can see this in Scripture. You saw it with the history of the people of Israel, the united, once at least, 12 tribes. They get overrun when they fall away from the Creator. Then they get scattered, or the invaders literally bring in others to destroy the culture from within. And that's happening now. I saw the numbers. You probably saw this as well. DHS Secretary talking about 1 million immigrants, illegals, expected at the border this year. And what was funny was even Lindsey Graham in a quote said, if 1 million migrants flooding the U.S. is not a crisis, what the hell would be? So people are picking up on that. What was funny was even National Public Radio is finally admitting migrant families arriving in busloads. Border crossings hit 10 years high. So there is a clear move, and this is in spite of alleged efforts, at least, to stop it. You have people making news at the national level, and the Soroses et al. Of the world saying, come on in, we've got a great situation. If you can get past the border, you got freebies for life. So it's not the kind of people, in other words, that wanted to come here, build a family, work hard, and have a better life for their children.
I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, obviously, if you're going to flood the market with welfare, then the market is either going to be able to support it or not. Well, it's quite obvious the market cannot support that level of welfare. If they do come in and work, then great. You're going to think they're going to be a certain percentage that will be work, that will be productive, and will be supportive. The large part won't be.
It used to be the large part was, but we've changed the rules.
It is a financial burden that we as Americans, as the American population, as our society and our economy cannot support. So, yes, it is a crisis. No question about it. As far as people fleeing from death squads and stuff like that, well, we have to have, compassion for that. But that doesn't mean we bring them into our economy. It doesn't mean that we bring them into our society. We can give them a safe place, which is what they're asking for. But, I agree. There is a definite emergency that is looming, and if we don't take care of it, it's going to be a big issue. As far as it being a move by the oligarchs to change society, probably. But financially, I think without a doubt, it is an emergency that has to be dealt with.
Okay, well, so let's talk about some of the specifics this week. We've got a lot of them. I mentioned what I think is probably the most important story. We didn't go through all the numbers, but we don't have to. Just in the month of February, 76,000-plus migrants appeared at ports of entry and illegally crossed. These are the ones that they caught. 76,000-plus people in 1 month. It was the largest in a while.
Is there anything in that article about how what their percentage is they feel of what they are catching versus what is actually passing?
They don't mention that specifically. Now, a large part of these, because they know once they get in and they get caught, remember, some of them are even turning themselves in. Hey, I made it across. Now I'll get my goodies, right? So they cross and they show themselves. Now, there are others. If I had to guess, I'd say that among the ISIS types, the numbers are higher of those that don't turn them in. They just disappear and go form their sleeper cells.
Sure. Well, Mark, one of the things to think about is the way we have our immigration set up. We are a fire station for the global baby drop-off point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about
basically, they pull in, and what do? Their kids are taken and put into shelter, into care, whatever that care is. We'll find out. But now they are going to be American citizens, and their parents, they can go back home. They don't care because they've put their kids in at the fire station, and they'll be taken care of. That's basically what I think some of these people are coming up here with the idea of.
If they can live,
that's great, but they're going to get their kids put into the system.
To some extent, Jeff, this is part and parcel of the same problem. The word is out now. Literally, we have national and international advertising saying, come on in, get your freebies. And once you get in, you got it. And lies a big part of the problem.
You want to talk Orwellian for a second? Let's talk Orwellian for a second.
Haven't we been? Okay.
Let's say that in 15 or 20 years from now, there'll be a huge workforce of adopted migrant children from this period that will become the workforce for grand new society. Just an Orwellian idea.
Okay, I'm not sure if I follow. I mean, I think the implications are what we've been talking about. Where were you wanting to go with that?
Well, that in this Orwellian idea, these children are basically going to become labor force.
Or fodder for something. Well, okay, but I mean, so how is that different? I'm not sure if I follow. Okay.
But anyhow, let's move on. It was just something to throw out. It didn't play as well in my mic as it did in my head.
Okay.
Hey, let's throw something out on the Orwellian idea. Data leaked over in this is from the Star Online. Data leaked exposes 364 million Chinese social media profiles that are being tracked by police surveillance program. Over the last couple of weeks, they've been talking about the hundreds of thousands and even higher numbers, people who are no longer able to move about. And on top of that, Russia just passed a law saying that you can have at least 45 days in prison, not jail, prison, for any type of anti-government comments on social media.
Now, here's an interesting question for you, Jeff. So you have China and Russia that basically say, if you say something we don't like, we put you in prison. You have a Big Brother America with a public-private partnership saying, we may do that later. We're certainly gathering all the information. Meanwhile, if we don't like it, we're just going to make sure nobody sees it. We're not going to, you know, we're going to cut out your tongue preemptively, in other words, when it comes to the web, so that politically incorrect stuff can't get out. You have to ask, maybe this is kind of a plan socialist A versus fascist plan B, and we'll see which one is able to control the populace better.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, it seems to be that what happens there begins over here before too much longer. And again, we've had government censorship and penalties for speaking out against any government programs in America. This is not new to us. It's just we tend to forget that during the golden days where everybody was so patriotic, there were also the period of time just before that where everybody was watching everybody's every move, looking for somebody who was going to be, you know, the next, spy. So,
well, that's the East German Stasi model, and we've pretty well got that established too with Facebook,
right,
and with Gulag and the others. Even if they have not yet used the information, in other words, they've got all this stuff and they're keeping it.
Right.
You know what we're seeing. In other words, I guess
so
another way to put it
is not a far stretch from being where we are right now, just complaining about it, to them actually doing it and feeling no guilt about it because they've already done it before. Is what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Well, let me throw out one other aspect of this that's very disturbing. I've seen how many stories this week about, you know, a million accounts hacked there. Here's more back doors in Twitter and Facebook and more passwords that are being stolen and so forth. We're at the point where the hacking is so bad and so pervasive, and as you and I are both aware, one of the real problems is NSA and the various TLAs, three-letter agencies, have mandated, well, with Microsoft and all the other public-private partners, that these back doors had better be there. So I don't even want to distinguish anymore between the good guys and the bad guys. So whether your hacker is NSA or somebody that works for some police department that wants to track his ex-wife, or his homosexual lover, who knows what the reason might be, but people are hacking just about everything, especially if they have the right connections and the high enough inside abilities. So where we're at is a place where literally everything is hacked, can be hacked. If it's not hacked yet, it will be, and you won't be able to get along without the web. But on the other hand, if you use the web, you may very well end up in jail. And here's the kicker, Jeff, because the hackers are so pervasive, you could be framed just as easily as it could be something real. But it won't matter.
Listen, man, we have TV shows all over the place, and some of them are all dressed up for the drama. But the idea that on all these CSI type shows or these big supposedly criminal science type shows, they have access to all this data now, and they do access this data now. It's just not available down to the level of the police station in your local neighborhood.
That's true. Well, unless they're good enough. So you're right.
So when we talk about this actually becoming a problem, this is not something that's new. This is not something they're not currently doing. If you become a big enough target for them. So what Mark and I are talking about is this becoming as pervasive as being or ubiquitous as being popping up on your traffic ticket when the guy is running your plates when you're pulled over for something, and then him taking action because you have a low social score. You know, that's what I believe Mark and I are complaining about or concerned about.
Well, I'm concerned about all of it, I guess you'd say. Just the fact that essentially we don't need no stinking warrant has been the what now passes for the law of the land for several decades, but it's beyond the pale. I know. Okay, let me throw one other. Jeff, you wanted to mention this. We have an example. We saw so many people that were politically incorrect because they worked for the president, from General Mattis to Paul Manafort to the scumbag Cohen. You know, here's Congress basically saying, hey, you lied to us before, but if you'll say nasty stuff, we'll let you lie to us again. And these folks, for the most part, unless they roll on the president, are getting their heads handed to them. Whereas if you're a, let's just say you run a Lolita Express over to Orgy Island, and you invite the president and high-level Hollywood perverts, you can get away with it. You don't even get a slap on the wrist for the most part. You know, Whitey Bulger ends up, of course, because he knew Paul Mueller too well. He might have gotten whacked in prison, but who knows what else he knew that he needed silenced. I'm suggesting, in other words, that the level of selective enforcement has gone way beyond the pale, to the point where people that are on the wrong political side of the aisle are being literally, figuratively, or virtually executed to those that get a free pass and they can commit child rape and outright treason and then run for president. But here's the story. I know you wanted to mention this. Judge T.S. Ellis III, appointed by Reagan, was a fighter pilot, has essentially turned Mueller back, demanding, saying that his sentence that he demanded for Paul Manafort of up to 24 years in the federal pen was excessive. And instead, he wanted him to spend less time and is already going to give him credit for the 9 months he's already been hijacked out behind bars. So once in a while, you get a good federal judge that sees through it. For the most part, not. And notice that this guy is still basically suffering anyway, largely because he was on the wrong team, even though his team won the White House.
You know, again, it's not like this is new, right? It's just organized, and we're
and it's over the top
age, and it's all everybody knows about it. But we have the same thing in other societies and other communities as well. Again, on the religious side as well. I'm not intending to follow it, but there's a huge, almost identical problem going on within the Catholic Church. And I'm not choosing the Catholic Church out of all Christianity. It's just there's a huge thing there. And there's also things that are going on in other even Jewish communities as well as just regular Christian communities that are no different. It's just people who are in a position of authority becoming bad people.
Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And I think that's the key, Jeff. You're right. It's not like this hasn't been going on in the case of the Roman pagan church for decades. It's just
it's not just them. It's just they're they were the most organized. So obviously, in such a grand organization, there's going to be grand abuse of that power.
Well, and
but
for centuries,
it happens on small scales, even in small offices. It's terrible.
Power corrupts, but
people who are given power generally just don't handle it well.
But the problem, and this is where I was heading with the old quote about absolute power, is that what we're seeing now are greater concentrations of power. Historically, the Roman Church was one of the most powerful institutions on planet Earth. They literally ruled empires for centuries, less so for the last several hundred years, but certainly to the point where there's still a large element of that. But what we're seeing are other power centers, like the federal government and Big Brother, the FBI, and so forth, that are now powerful enough that they can destroy presidents, or at least they think they can, and they're trying to. And so what are we seeing? Are greater levels of corruption and perfidy than perhaps has ever been seen before.
Right. You know, the bigger the monster, the more it takes to drive it. Obviously, no question about it. But again, if it didn't, it wouldn't be so bad, I guess, if it wasn't also a problem all the way down to the individuals. People who are given positions of authority just don't handle it well. We'll see you guys on the other side of the
all
break.
All right, we're at the break. Thanks.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Drive Time Friday with your hosts, Mark Call and myself, Jeff Gilbert. Tim Kern is not with us today. Let's see. I want to make one change from what I said earlier. I said 45 days. It's actually 15 days. Russia passes law to jail people for 15 days. I was getting my 40 and 15 mixed up between the Manafort case. A couple of things I want to throw out before we get started on this side, just to finish out some of my global info. China develops microwave emitter to quell unrest.
they learned it from 5G.
System. Yes, it drives around and it stimulates the nociceptors, sensory neurons, where they are called pain nerves, and basically turns you into a quivering puddle of fluids. And they're driving around with this van, and this is what it's set up to do. And we have those things in UK and also in the United States now, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're aware these by the U.S. military are called active denial systems, among other things. Non-lethal devices, but you just crank up the power. Well, let me just mention this, Jeff, because this is key.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay. The last thing that I want to throw up was this. There is some good about the way we are tracking or using our social media.
Okay. Well, hang on. Before we get away from that, I wanted to talk about what you just were mentioning rather than shifting yet. And that is that these active denial systems, what the Chinese are doing, this is the Huawei thing. Because Huawei is one of the, we want to provide your 5G network. It's a $2 trillion industry. What people need to understand, and I certainly tried to emphasize this whenever it comes up, is that these same wavelengths, these frequencies, are exactly what are being proposed and deployed all around the nation for 5G. So the reason why this is such a deadly, disgusting, absolutely terminal technology is that it is used, the wavelengths are the same, and this is a crowd control measure, and these things have incredible, unbelievable potential health consequences, not only because they cause pain, they can destroy DNA, break cell structures, break the double helix. Your skin is a little teeny tiny helical antenna for these wavelengths, which is why they're such great things for pain receptors. This is perhaps the most insidiously nasty technology ever deployed against the world population, and most Americans are cheering it on and saying, "Oh, I can't wait till I can download a movie in 4 seconds, even if it kills me."
Well, okay, I agree with what you're saying on that. There's a difference between the two options that you're throwing out. The low-intensity 5G for the metropolitan environments is nowhere near as destructive as what we're talking about in these active denial systems. However,
just crank up the power.
In high-density population environments, it's going to be a slow cook. And people, it's going to be the frog in the water idea.
Well, it's worse than that, Jeff, because there are other effects that are insidious associated with it as well, like melatonin production and interference with sleep patterns. These things already have that effect. So what we're doing here is essentially deploying a technology that will slowly not only cook and boil the frog, but destroy the frog's ability to know what's happening to it by dumbing it down, destroying its brain, preventing it from getting good sleep cycles, and also probably destroying its ability to reproduce in the future. And, yeah, okay. All they got to do if they want to increase the level of pain is increase the level of power. The technology is the same. It's just like saying, oh, I was only shot with a 22 bullet, you know, just a flesh wound, as opposed to, yeah. Well, did it hit you in the head, and do they up the power level a bit? If you up the power level of 22, it becomes a 223 rifle.
Right, completely understood. And basically what I don't generally go off into the deep end. Some people would argue that. But, you know, there's a lot of things happening with magnetic poles and how they are shifting and they're moving quite rapidly, and that we have, through our instrumentation and satellite coverage of the Earth, we have been able to track a diminishing of our magnetic shield that protects us from global solar radiation. One of the things that happens when the magnetic shield gets weaker and during higher solar events is that we are bombarded with different levels of radiation, and that will bring about changes in the body structure, changes in your chemical or your electrical makeup. Just like what's happening with these 5G. So,
well, similar, but not just like. Let's be clear on that.
But basically, so what I'm saying it is quite ironic that we are harnessing a type of extreme radiation that we would only normally ever experience when the Earth itself is going through some massive change, and we are harnessing it and using that type of damage, that type of a weapon against its own people. And I just think, as a human, as a race, as a sentient being, we are now pretty much at the pinnacle of how bad we can be. Anyhow,
okay,
sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's explore that just for a second more here, because there are a couple aspects to it. I mean, we're comparing something that people are going to profit greatly by, in other words, $1 trillion worth of infrastructure here, actually multiple trillion by the time it's done, being built out. And if it kills a few people, hey, for $1 trillion, who cares? Is the attitude of many of them, obviously. And it'll provide greater surveillance and the Internet of Things, and we can control the slaves better anyway. As opposed to something which some might, insurance companies would call an act of God. If there is a diminishment, a change that's a cyclical pattern in the magnetic poles and certain things happen, well, hey, there's not a lot you can do. But here's the difference.
Yeah, ain't nothing you can do about that, exactly.
Well, yeah,
we're harnessing the worst, we're harnessing what is a global catastrophic event, a solar event of that type, that would destroy, humanity across great swaths in a very extreme situation, and we're harnessing that down at our very level and using it against our own people.
Well, here's the point I want to try to make.
The task that we could go through, and we're actually using that as a weapon against our own. I think that's kind of the pinnacle of just what we are.
Okay, but the question is, for those that are listening, what can they do? And the answer, when it comes to the magnetic pole reversal, it may not happen soon. It may be hundreds of years. Don't know for sure. Science either doesn't know, or even if they did know, they're not telling us, and who could trust some of them anyway, because they stand to make a lot of money from things they're lying about on other scores. So the point is, that may or may not be something people can do anything about. But on the other hand, you sure as heck can avoid inviting a 5G tower out front of your house, or letting them mount it on your wall. So that's the difference. You can say no, and people should say no to putting the poison on every block in America. For the rest, if it's going to happen, you can try to prevent it, and you can try to guard against it. But, Jeff, we're talking over each other. Your lag is bad. Let me finish the sentence, please. If it's going to happen from the sun, again, you can try to do things to prevent being exposed to the sun and being exposed to radiation. That's a taller order. But you can, in fact, stop things from being put on your block, on your house, and in your to destroy your families. And that's what people need to do. Fight the battles you can.
Right. I mean, no question. But honestly, they're not going to be able to stop them putting 5G antennas up if they're in a high density community, because the needs of the many outweigh the cares of the few.
So talk to your neighbors. Make sure the neighbors understand.
Yeah, fight it for as long as you can, then move. That's really all you, that's our option. But as far as the sun goes, the whole magnetic reversal thing, that's happening. How it actually affects us, that we don't know. It takes certain solar activity happening within certain range that we pass through. That may or may not happen. So there's a lot of ifs on that. But I was just making the comment that as a sentient being, we have harnessed the Earth's worst possible nightmare, and now we're using it against our own people. It's just really weird.
Okay. Well, and power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And you can buy a whole lot of power for about $2 trillion, and we're seeing that. Let me get to the heart of the matter on a slightly different score. There is a story. This has been kind of making the rounds here. Saw it first on CNBC, other places. $100 bills see a mysterious surge in circulation. And what was funny was the talking heads at CNBC said, oh, basically, who could have thought it? This is a problem because this effort is going to be used for financial crime and terrorism and corruption and drug dealers. What we need is a war on cash. We need to get rid of cash as if that was the issue. And their economists, it says, are scratching their heads. So the story goes like this. Number of outstanding U.S. $100 bills has doubled since the financial crisis. There are more of these things running around now than there are dollar bills in circulation. Some would point out, hey, you know, when Obama ships billions and billions of them in pallet after pallet to Iran and to other places in the Middle East, maybe eventually they start winding their way home. But, of course, the bigger problem is, hey, this is what happens when you begin to see the meltdown of a fiat currency. And the chickens come home to roost. Now, I saw a great piece that kind of summarizes all this. If everything is really so great, why are the super wealthy now beginning to move into physical cash? The other part of the equation here is NERP, right? Negative interest rate policy. The banksters intend to move interest rates negative. What that means is that every dollar in your bank account will get less and less valuable. It'll buy less. Not only will there be inflation, which is already being lied about, but what's worse still is the banks literally will say, hey, you know, we're going to charge you to keep this money here because it's not money anyway. It's like sands through the hourglass. It just disappears. So what are people doing? Well, they're saying if you're going to provide negative interest rates, we're going to get as much of our wealth transferred into something we can hang on to as we can. Even if that's $100 bills subject to inflation, at least we don't have to deal with NERP. So for all of these reasons, you know, the stuff that we've been talking about here for a long time, the inevitable meltdown of fiat currency is accelerating, and there are signs for those with eyes to see that we're getting closer and closer to the brink. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I still have this thing in my head about this $21 trillion that went missing a couple years ago.
And
I still wonder if this whole Orwellian idea isn't too far off, where underneath this 5G grid above on the city level, there's a series of secure zones and complexes that have been built with that $21 trillion. I mean, I know that's quite conspiratorial, but it doesn't seem to be a wise decision for somebody who knows science to build a microwave oven that runs at low power constantly in an entire metropolitan zone. How can you not expect there to be massive changes to how that whole metropolitan grows and lives? To me, it would be considered almost a way you could zone off an area from anybody entering by just cranking that stuff up.
Okay.
Then you have a protected zone inside. Anyhow, I'm sorry.
As long as you're there, let's stop again for a second. Because when you said it runs at low power continuously, I'm thinking, well, that's what they tell you, but who really says? I've seen a number of engineers.
No, they can turn that. Listen, those things can be cranked up. It
that's
runs
my
low
point.
Power constantly whenever the mesh is high. So
that's and the beams
cranked up. Now we're talking a different animal with no change to the hardware. Go ahead.
Exactly. And not only that, as you know, they can be beam steered. In other words, you can focus these things. And
depending on the antenna, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what steerable arrays are about.
The wavelength and the strength easily. But it's what I do.
Yes, but here's the other question, right? Now, I'm not sure if you're doing any 5Gs yet, but people are asking the question here, why are some of these 5G networks being fed with such huge power cables? In other words, it's almost like the power cables going in belie just how much power this thing may actually be capable of putting out. Why are you feeding it with great big thick cables that would handle a lot more power than it supposedly nominally puts out unless you had the ability to crank it up? And you're exactly right. I have no doubt that the intention would be to allow the powers that be, the controllers, to say, we got a riot in this sector. Or if you've seen the old various movies, all the way back to Soylent Green, turn up the power on the 5G there, quell that riot and get people out of Sector 1 or the downtown area, these four city blocks. We'll just show them who's boss.
No question. But I would assume that some of those large cables are going to be fiber bundles.
No, I'm talking about people talking about huge copper bundles. I haven't seen the things, thankfully. But all we have is information from engineers that are installing them.
If you're talking at a base station, yes. But what you and I are talking about is the micro towers throughout the neighborhoods. And if they're running huge power to that, then. Those things really only run off, 5 watts for. I mean, you can get off with 48 watts, and then you're talking maybe higher wattage whenever you're doing a greater mesh. But if these local substations are running huge copper, they could be running some pretty serious power out of those substations. And, yeah, these things, what you and I are saying, becomes a little more reasonable, whether it's the reality, who knows. But
well, here's the question, Jeff. Do we believe that it's just possible that people who are have already demonstrated a kind of a level of corruption that might boggle most folks' minds, could it be that they would actually plan to be able to do something nefarious with this? Oh, who could imagine such a thing?
Well, what is nefarious? If they're using it as crowd control for the needs of the many, then those who live in those areas, they live in the buffer zone.
Okay, so you're saying, the ends justify the means, and it's okay,
that's how they're going to approach it, right?
That's exactly the kind of mentality, that we know is at play here, and that's the point, I guess. It's not that. Well, listen, let me put it this way, Jeff. When I started out by talking about this lock your car, take your keys thing, there would have been an attitude not that many decades ago of people saying, you are kidding me. This can't happen. This shouldn't happen. And for crying out loud, I'm going to blow the whistle and not allow it to happen. And here, basically, it's, it's fine. We justify it. We reconcile our, not as big of moral objections with the ends that are necessary justify the means. It's a whole different mentality, and it's disgusting. And it's not only that, it's deadly.
Well, I just think people need to move out of the metropolitans because that's where all this is going to be. That's really all it is. And the metropolitans where all the most crowd control extremes are going to be used because that's where the crowds are. I just think that, society is making changes and we should probably move out into the outlying communities that are farther and just participate in that lifestyle very seldom because it's kind of a high risk area.
Okay,
now
I don't disagree with the objective of saying okay, get out of Dodge and so forth. But it doesn't necessarily. I mean, to some extent, it's a little bit like saying, "All right, well, I'll move until there's no place left to move, and then I'll end up dying because there won't be any place left to go." Let me throw this out, Jeff. A couple of other stories, and yes, this is back to the realm of politics. But Colorado, some of us know about Colorado, has basically just announced that they are going to change the rules for the Electoral College. And essentially, at least up until they change their mind and just decide to give all of the electoral votes in the state to the pinko commie candidate, regardless of who wins, have now said, what we're going to do? We're going to wait for the general election results to come in, and then Colorado's electoral votes will all go to the National Popularity Contest winner. In other words, the one who's selected by the citizens of Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, and all of the highly watermelon zones. It's kind of an undermining of the the way that the Electoral College was set up, the things that it was set up to prevent, which was essentially the population centers from ruling over the rest of the country. But that's what we're talking about with 5G, if you think about it. Places where people can be controlled, all essentially saying, oh, now we're going to control the rest of the country, too. If we can't do it directly, we're going to do it with, you know, what once was called the Republic and the Constitution. H.R. 1 is in Congress, and basically it's going to change the rules for motor voter and voter registration. It'll do the same thing and allow incredible amounts of fraud, especially if you can hack all the systems. So on all these levels, I think the concern is that what people are seeing is the, well, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. They're tightening the screws and closing the noose.
Well, think about it. When you move into these types of environments, what are people going to want? They're going to want the same social media access that they have out in the world. So now there's a whole bunch of folks that are trying to get the same access, and they need more bandwidth, and this bandwidth has to be managed, and they have to be able to provide it. But they have a lot of buildings that are causing a lot of blockages and a lot of reflection, and these things really cause problems for bandwidth. So they have to increase the ability to bounce signal around all these hard, flat surfaces so they can give bandwidth to everybody on all these corners. And because of the need of the people to access the internet, the providers are fulfilling that need by doing something that bypasses the laws of natural physics, and that's by bouncing radio waves and using that to transmit data. So we are driving that. The metropolitan itself is driving an economic division to come up with a solution to make money off of the people who want something that they don't have. So it's, I don't know that it has to be nefarious at its core. It's a market-driven economy.
Okay.
And everybody's looking to make a buck, and that's why 5G is popular in the metropolitan.
Well, there's
I don't know that it has to be a government conspiracy. You know, so either way could happen. But it seems just as reasonable that this is just the market answering.
Let me make two comments. One, it doesn't have to be a government conspiracy because the element of fascism here is the public-private partnership. You know, whether Apple is a creature of government or whether government is a creature of Apple and Gulag and Facebook is the question, right? Which is the cart and which is the horse? But setting that aside for a second, because we got that already. The bigger question, you know, if it's market-driven, I'm okay with market-driven. I'm a fan of free markets. Well, we don't have any because we don't have honest money. But more importantly, here's the key, Jeff. All these people that are clamoring to be able to have all this bandwidth, we want the bandwidth. Oh, I don't have a problem with saying we want better performance. What I do have a problem with is the purveyors saying, we're not going to tell you that this is going to kill you. It's kind of like how we're going to give you a free bag of meth. And we're not going to tell you that it just might cause a problem, too, or whatever other poison people are being introduced to. So the real issue is those that are controlling the game here and are talking about free markets are also hiding from people the fact that this is going to kill you. But you'll have a great time until you die.
Well, yeah, look at the medicine industry, you know?
Yeah. And we're, you know, it's not like we haven't seen the pattern in so many places. Oh, you can have all the food you want. It just doesn't have any nutritional value. Interestingly, Scripture talks about the, you know, they'll eat and eat and eat and not be satisfied. We're there. We're seeing all of that.
Well, yeah. And we as people choose to live like that. We don't have to.
Well, no.
But the only reason we have to live like that is because we're buying from them. We can grow most of it ourselves. We have all the tools now to be able to do things that before could only be done at a mill.
Jeff,
so it is much easier today to do that.
But the Bible says, I like Hosea chapter 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And furthermore, he goes on to say, because you've rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you from being priests for me and also will forget your children. What we're seeing is a place where people have rejected knowledge, but now it's being denied to them. So literally, the dumbed down masses, having been dumbed down, are being led to slaughter. And it's kind of like you don't tell the cows what's going to happen when they go into that great big building up there. They're not telling what 5G is going to do to them.
People bought the line and started to get themselves into debt because they were looking for a better way, and they took advantage of the market, which the government was actually participating in, which actually was destroying our society. Yes, I agree. And today, people who can't escape are basically, you know, the frogs in the water, you know.
So as
people who aren't in that position, who are heading that way, who need to be told, don't get caught up in that.
All right.
Those who are already caught up in it, escape as fast as you can. But the first escape is to get out of the metropolitans. That's where you know, society is at its worst.
And there may even be a one step prior to that, and that's the way I'd like to end the show today. Again, if my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, then go out and get yourself some knowledge. Understand the technology. You don't have to understand all of the details about how 5G kills you, but it's helpful to know that it does. And you can spread that information around. You know, we can be watchmen on the wall. We can blow that shofar and say, hey, there's a sword coming. It may be invisible, and it may come in via your cell phone, but it'll kill you dead as a doornail nevertheless. So understand it and come out of it. Okay, thanks, Jeff. Shabbat shalom, folks.
Here, guys.